supports with praise. So I got a question for you. Why don't we blow the roof right off of this place? Because God's done so much for us. And we need to learn to praise Him and to worship Him. And so we're going to continue on in our study from last week with that in mind. And see how far we get today with it. But it's hard. It's hard for us to praise Him. And a few years ago, probably more than I want to remember, that I don't know, it finally started to kind of hit me that I don't praise Him enough and I don't worship Him like maybe I read about in the Bible. You know, we come sing some songs, but are we singing alike when we go camping? You just got back from camping, but you didn't get to have any fires now that I think about it. But some people, when they go camping, you know, they sing songs around the campfire. I don't know, I feel like that's different. When I'm singing together in church with other fellow believers, we're worshiping the God that created the universe. And it's going to come one day and take me back, take me to heaven to be with Him. And that's exciting to me. And, you know, so many times when people say, praise the Lord, we think, oh man, they're getting radical now or something. And I'm like, that should be the norm for us, you know. You look all through Psalms and people are praising the Lord and worshiping Him and thankfulness and stuff. And I'm like, we need to learn how to say, praise the Lord. We need to learn how to say, thank you, Lord. We need to learn to say some of the things we read about in the Word. And anyway, so last week we started on praise, but like I said, it kind of expanded as I thought about it. It's about thankfulness, about gratitude, about reverence. It's about praise. It's about worship. And so I think we gave some definitions of those things last week. We won't go back and give those today. But and then we started looking into some of the stuff. And you read the verse, Psalms 100. That's one that I won't read it again right now, but maybe later on we'll read it again. But one of the ones I want to start it out with today was in Hebrews. It says this, chapter 13, verse 15. I'll get it right. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Then it goes on in 16, goes like this, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. I think it's saying in there that we need to continually praise, but it also ought to show up in our lives the way we walk it out. But I find that we seem to be so inhibited that we don't clap, we don't raise our hands. Some do. I feel free enough to do that. I don't know about the rest of you, but I think those are good things that it talks about in the Bible. Then it really gets what people would call radical and talks about dancing and talks about shouting. And, you know, I'd say most of us are a long ways from those things, okay? But there's nothing wrong with them. And I think we should put into practice some of those things in our life. Not because we want to be holier than somebody else, but just because we're thankful and grateful for what God's done for us. And again, I just tells us to live, it's telling us to live, therefore, Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. That's us speaking out praise to Him. And I think most of us are so inhibited that we just don't kind of get to that point in our lives, seems like. Anyway, we went on and we read Psalms 9:1-2, where it said, I'll praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders and will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And I think that it's a heart thing. We don't come for show. We don't raise our hands or clap or whatever we might do for show. But it should be coming out of us. It should be coming out of the heart. And so that's a good verse anyway there. And in Acts 2:47, it talks, tells us in there to praise Him. That's what those people did right after Christ had gone and the Holy Spirit came, and then they were praying together and they were worshiping together, and it says to praise Him. I found a little thing the other day from, it's a quote from Charles Spurgeon, and he says, prayer and praise are the oars, like rowing a boat oars, okay? Prayer and praise are the oars by which a man may row his boat into the deep waters of the knowledge of Christ. Prayer and praise are an important thing in our lives. And I had asked last week the question, is praise important? And then we went on and looked at it. So we talked about the importance of praise and how the Bible exhorts us to pray. We looked at some of the writers in the Old Testament and some of the words they used, and which meant, one was to mean, one meant blessed, another meant hallelujah, another was to give thanks. We looked at what the references at least say is the first song after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, and it was a song of praise and thanksgiving to God. Can you imagine being backed up to that Red Sea and all those soldiers out there about ready to try to slaughter you, you know? And God opens up the Red Sea and you go across on dry land and you get to the other side. I think we'd be thankful, really thankful. But you know, I made the mistake one time of trying to use that against a Christian guy I knew. And he asked me why I didn't come to Christ and, you know, give my heart to the Lord. And he says, and I told him, I said, if I could cross the Red Sea like they did and I got to the other side, I said, I would accept Him. And he looked right straight at me and he says, no, you wouldn't. And what are you talking about? He kind of put me on the spot. You know, I wasn't ready for that. He said, no, you wouldn't. And I said, why? Because you'd have been just like them. They went on a little farther and the next thing they're building a golden calf, which is amazing. How can they see God move, open up the Red Sea, they go across, and they're so thankful, and they worship Him and praise Him and sing this song, and then they go on their way, and the next thing, they're building a golden calf? You got to be kidding me. I mean, the Lord wants us to be consistent. He wants us to be, I don't know what the word is, would be. Here's how I want to be, I guess I'll say it this way. Okay, so here's the bottom, and here's halfway, and here's really good. I got a chart in my Bible that shows the walk with the Israelites, and it goes like this. You know, up and down and up and down. Well, let's say this is middle here. I want to live my life up here, somewhere past the middle. You know, and it might have some walks, you know, like this. But I don't want to go in them big canyons and way highs and big lows. I want to just be consistent for the Lord. And I think that's one reason some of this, like we just read that little quote, and prayer and praise can help us. I found that it really helped me when I would start, as I would pray, to thank Him and to praise Him first and then bring my prayer request before Him. Because one thing I've noticed in a lot of prayer meetings is we pray for healing for people. And it's like we hardly even acknowledge who God is. We just go into, Lord, help my buddy or help whoever, and would you heal them and that stuff. Where I think we could, it would be better if we would express praise and worship and then bring our request before the Lord. Anyway, so we went on, talked about the importance of praise. We looked at the Old Testament, some examples of Moses and Deborah and David and some other psalmists and some Old Testament prophets. And then we talked about the call to praise God, how it's throughout the New Testament as well. Jesus himself was an example. We looked at Paul, and we looked at James, and we looked at Revelations. And talked about how everything that had breath praised the Lord, even innate objects would show praise to the Lord. And then we started talking where we left off. We were just right at the method of praise. So praise can take place in many ways. Praise is part of corporate worship of God's people. And I want to go back to the psalm that you read this morning, and which was 100. Get there. And here's one place where it says shout. Okay? You ever heard anybody shout out in church? It's like, whoa, what are they doing? I had a friend and he said, worship is to be loud. And he used to do that. He'd just all of a sudden shout somebody while everybody that was kind of half asleep, they woke up really quick when he shouted. But the point is that there's nothing wrong with doing that. As long as it, you know, not out of order and it just making a big show or something. But it says here, whoop, how'd I get back to there? Oh, here we go. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Man, a lot of those songs we sang this morning were praise, you know it? And about the Lord and His goodness and stuff. Sometimes the music we hear nowadays, it's maybe not really, some of it is not really giving Him the glory. It's talking about everything except the Lord, it seems like. But as I look through here, sometimes my wife tells me that she don't think I'm a happy person. And I am. I don't smile all the time. My face was smashed when I was younger, and I think I'm smiling, but sometimes I'm not, I guess. But verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. I am so thankful that God loved me so much that he touched my heart even when I didn't really want to accept him. I told the guy that led me to the Lord, I said, I got things I want to do myself. And one of them was to try to get a farm. And I was like, been trying since I was 14 to get a farm and couldn't seem to get the job done. And he said to me, well, maybe if you give your heart to the Lord, maybe he'd allow you to have one. That's exactly what happened. But I sat in that Bible study and tried to tear Christianity apart for like a year. And then one night the Holy Spirit was so heavy and so strong inside of me that I told him, I got to accept the Lord and I got to do it now. And I've been so thankful of that. He's been so good to me. And things started happening, and sure enough, it wasn't long. It was within 2 months that we were over here on the farm. But are we glad that God worked in our life? And if we really are, shouldn't we be able to show it? I mean, God made us the way we are with emotions. And I'm not saying we get all whacked out and do a bunch of weird stuff. But I think most of us won't loosen up enough to really praise him and really worship him and express it. But he's given us emotions. There's nothing wrong with our emotions. There's balance in everything in the Bible. We need to have balance with it. It goes on and it talks about gladness, and then come before him with joyful songs, expressing. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and his sheep. He leads us all the time. We have so many things we can be thankful for. Verse 5, the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. He loves us no matter what we go through and the things we do. And us human beings are kind of funny creatures. We get into some real predicaments at times. But it says his love endures forever. He's there helping us no matter what. For the Lord is good. Oh, that's okay. And his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. He's always there. He's always there to help us. So praise is part of corporate worship. We just read about that there. Other places where where the singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It is a way to express praise to God. It talks about it in Psalms 96, 1 through 4. And, you know, all these scriptures that I made out that paper, they're not just all Old Testament. There's a lot of them in the New Testament. So I just mentioned Psalms 96, 1 through 4, but I got a whole list here of some of them are New Testaments too. Praise can be sung with the mind in a known human language or with the spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14-16. Musical praise can be expressed through musical instruments. Again, it talks about in the Old Testament, it lists a lot of them and stuff like that. Ram's horns were used, trumpets were used, wind instruments were used, pipes were used, strings instruments, harps and lyre, percussion instruments, tremble tambourine, cymbals. And in Exodus 15:20, let me go back here and find it. Exodus, what did I say? 15:20. Whoop. F- 15, 20. Says, when Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. 21, Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. But just another example of what they, you know, used. You see some churches where they got tambourines and stuff like that, and I think it adds to it, personally. Some people have, I had a friend, I think I mentioned this last week, I got a friend that he had a problem with drums, and he said the beat is of the devil or something like that. And I'm like, well, we could say that almost to everything. It's how we use it. Do we use it to worship and praise God, or do we use it for some other thing, you know, which they are used sometimes for the bad, but that don't mean we should throw the baby out with the bathwater, you might say. We can also communicate God's praise by telling others about God's wonderful deeds. In other words, expressing it out of our mouth. What's he done for us? How he has answered our prayers, etc. One example would be how we have experienced God's forgiveness. David was eager to tell others about the Lord and what he had done for him. Other Bible writers encourage us to declare God's glory and praise in the congregation, God's people. Psalms 22 through 25. Some other verses there too. I'll give you the list afterwards. Also, tell it among the nations. He uses some verses there. Peter calls on God's chosen people to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. I'd like to read that. First Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare praises to him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Talks about not being God's people and then being God's people. How you've received mercy if you go on down there, and how we were strangers, but we're a chosen people. We forget that. We're a priesthood, what did it say there? Holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. Do we think of ourselves at all like that? See, sometimes I forget, think we forget these things that should draw us into praise. We could even say that missions work is a method of praise. A life lived to God's glory is a way to praise the Lord. Jesus reminds us that if we let our light shine, people will see our good deeds and give glory and praise to God. Matthew 5:16. Paul observes that a life filled with the fruit of righteousness praises God in Philippians 1:11. Reasons to praise. Why do people praise the Lord? Because of the splendor, glory, majesty, and beauty of our God. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. We talked a little bit about that. The experience of God's mighty acts, his acts of salvation and redemption, is a reason to praise his name. Psalms 96:1-3, and a lot of other verses. When we do this, we praise God for his unfailing mercy, grace and love. We will want to praise God for any specific act of deliverance in our lives, such as being rescued from our enemies or healed of our sickness. Whole list again of scripture behind that. Another reason to praise and bless His name is God's continual care. Okay, I'll try that again. Another reason to praise and bless His name is God's continual care. That is a powerful reason to praise and bless His name. Psalm 68:19. We haven't even really got into thankfulness. I'm not sure what I'm going to do next time that I'm here, but it might be another spot to go on with some of this. But I guess my question for you guys and for myself, and we ought to all think about it really, but, and this is kind of going back to the worship kind of in corporate thing or in our personal lives, but how are we or can we incorporate praise in our church services and also our personal lives? So I realize when we all get together, some of us are pretty timid and don't want to say too much. Maybe don't even sing out very loud. That doesn't mean you're not sitting quietly and reverently and worshiping God. But I think He also wants us to speak out in song and in praise. And, you know, in the corporate services or church services, whatever. But maybe one way that we could learn to do that more is in our own personal lives at home. When you sit down and read your Bible or meditate on the Word, maybe it's a time to go into prayer and just praise Him and thank Him for some things. Because I don't care where we're at or how thankful we are, I think there's room for all of us to grow in that area of praise and worship. I think too many times we take stuff for granted. I mean, I know my wife's given me something nice once in a while, and then I forgot to thank her. You know, we can all be there, right? Or a friend, maybe, for you young people, maybe it's a friend and it's giving you something nice, and we forget to thank them. Or sometimes it's not even some big thing. It might just be a little thing. But we might need to, it'd be good to say thank you or be grateful. So anyway, I think it's something we could put into practice more and more. So I want to put you on the spot for a moment. Do we have another mic that we can use, this one? Is it going to screech with mine being on? It will. So maybe you could pack it around then. So I'm going to put you all on the spot and ask Tristan to go around and hand you the mic, whoever's brave enough to do it, and give something that you're thankful. But more than that, I think thankfulness is easier to say. Thank you. Thank you, Teresa. I think it's a little harder to praise. Okay? So this morning it might be good if we just give a praise to the Lord. Okay? I know this is hard. There's one right back there. Great, thank you. I know this might be hard for some of you, but what I found in my life, sometimes when it was hard, if I would step out and take that step and do it, it broke down a wall and made it easier. So, yeah. So I want you to take that step, even if it's hard for you. Now, it must not have been quite so hard for her because she's willing to do it. She's the first one had her hand raised. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, so my name is Samantha. I actually live right down the road over here. I went to the church quite a bit down here, but usually I go to Calvary up north. I have a little bit of something to say. It's a little bit about you being thankful, but it's also kind of just a crazy story that I feel like I have to share. So I am pretty up and down, just like I think most people maybe that are younger in my faith. I don't think it ever really goes away, but I think it gets like stronger at some points, and then you get distracted. And then it gets stronger, then you get distracted, or your kids are there, and you got too much stuff to do. There's like a million excuses on why you don't follow super, super strong. And recently, I've been feeling really strong in my faith, probably stronger than I've felt, I think, in a very, very long time. And I've been praying a bunch, and randomly last night, I didn't have any plans of coming to church here at this church today. I used to come here before, and then, like I said, I usually go to Calvary because the kids have like a bouncy castle and like the ball pit and stuff like that. But last night I had a crazy dream, and mind you, I usually have really crazy dreams, but they don't really make any sense. And last night I had a dream that I feel like I had to share here. And anyway, so the dream was I'm running around this building and there's zombies. I know, zombies. They're zombies, okay? They're evil. I know that they're evil in this dream and they're running around everywhere. So the first thing I think is that I have to say the Lord's Prayer, you know? And then that keeps the zombies from biting me. And so I'm saying the Lord's Prayer in the dream, and the zombies like leaving me alone, but they're right here, right? And so I stop saying the prayer because the prayer is over, and then they're just immediately right back trying to bite me, you know? And so I keep saying it, and 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 every single time that I would try to stop saying the Lord's Prayer, I mean, they didn't miss a beat. They were right there. It was literally just a block there, and as long as I was saying that prayer, then they couldn't come through this like invisible barrier. Now, as I'm saying it, there are some other zombies that had just been turned, and they're there, but they're kind of far away from me, you know? And so they're not the ones that are right here trying to bite me. They're kind of over there. And eventually, some of those start to listen to me, and then they start saying the Lord's Prayer, too, and then they're no longer zombies, right? And I think that the message that I got from this dream, and I've never had a dream like this before. I mean, like I said, I have really weird dreams, so I never had dreams about this, and I damn sure don't dream about zombies, because I don't watch scary movies or anything like that. But I think that in my dream, the zombies weren't zombies. I think that the dream, it was just telling me that, kind of like what you were saying, if you take even a second away from prayer, like prayer and praise have to be constant. Because just like in my dream, if you stop for even a second, they're right there. So you can never stop. You can never stop praying. You can never stop looking at him. You can never stop the Lord's Prayer because it only takes a second. One day, one action, one TV show that sucks you in, one bad song that you start to listen to that kind of starts to change your mind, and it'll suck you right back in. And I think that was God telling me, like, this is what keeps happening to you. You need to stop. And so I woke up, I said, okay, I think we're going to go to this church over here because the kids really need to go to church. And then I'm sitting here and I'm listening to you talk. And then I sit here and I'm like, I don't know if I should share my story. I don't even know these people, but I feel like I'm supposed to. And so I said a little prayer to myself and my husband. I kind of had my head down and I was like, if I'm supposed to share this story, can you like give me a sign or have him be like, hey, let's have some story sharing or something. And so then I said the prayer, and then you were like, let's put the microphone around. And I was like, shut up. I don't think it could have been any clearer than that. So there's my story. And that was my dream. And I don't know who was supposed to hear it today beside myself, but I'm pretty sure that somebody here was supposed to hear that. My praise is that God would give me a dream like that to kind of tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do. Usually it's like pretty quiet, but it was pretty loud, and sometimes you need it pretty loud, especially if you're kind of dumb like me. Sometimes it's got to be pretty loud. Yes, uh-huh. So thank God for those moments. Yeah.
I actually have one. I went backpacking with my sister and my niece and nephew this past week, and I can identify a lot actually with what you say, with the constant pull of, you know, things happening around you, having your kids and you're doing your kids and doing all the things they have to them, and then, oh, you have to do this and that and that, and there's, and it's just thrown at you like this fire hose of life, and it can easily overwhelm you, and you kind of just kind of retreat into the little shell and you don't listen. And that has happened to me many times as well. On this trip, it's quiet, and there's none of those outside distractions. It was just us, the heavy pack, the constant physical pain and suffering, but the quiet as well. It was just that quiet, and being able to be still and know He is God in the midst of His creation. It was one of those moments where you realize just how important a lot of the busy stuff that we fill our lives with really is. And sometimes it takes to understand, to be in that state of constant prayer. It's because of the world, the way it works, it's constantly in the way. So those kinds of reminders, whether it be a crazy dream or just being out on the trail where it can't reach you, it doesn't matter. It's just being known He is God and staying in that constant communication with Him.
It's okay. I just want to say that I'm so thankful that every day I see something new, some praise that He has changed in me, my thoughts, my actions, every day, every single day.
I've been saved a long time. I am so thankful that when I accepted Christ, that His Spirit came within me. And it's through His Spirit that I have the ability to speak to others and to bring the gospel to others. It's through His Holy Spirit that I can do anything. I can't do anything myself. I could not ever. I remember years ago being so afraid to be up in front of someone. And through His calling me to sing in front there, He took that fear away from me. He totally took it away from me. I never choked up. I am choking now. Up again after being up there once He called me to do that, and I was obedient to Him. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit within us. We can try, and we will fail, because it's God leading us to that person He wants us to speak to or to love, to take care of, to give to. It's through His Spirit, and I am so thankful for His Holy Spirit.
I think it's Chuck.
Nope. You're the one.
I forgot. I'm the one. I just wanted to praise God for little Miss Wendy back here, who does a devotion every day. This morning I read it to my two house guests, and it was talking about being turmoil and hot water, and being and they used the analogy of putting a tea bag into boiling water, and what does that do to you? And how does God use that? Sometimes we have to have those bad things happen, those horrible, horrible circumstances. It was the death of her brother, and then her other brother that's alive had the fire and was evacuated. But I thought, a tea bag in hot water. Boy, I don't even like tea. But the fact is that that brings out praise and joy when we come out of it, if we can endure it. And we can only endure it through His Holy Spirit.
That was on the same order that I was going to say, that long time ago, an aunt told me, you have to pray when even bad things are happening and say thank you for those bad things. And I didn't understand that, nor did I want to. And so it's still hard. It's still hard to thank God when bad things are happening. And thank Him and ask Him to help guide you, and He always does. So that's the thing that I think is the hardest, is to thank Him when bad things are happening. But when you do get through that, that is when you grow the most. I know that that is when I grew the most in my faith and my walk with Him. Because He gets you down on your knees and praising Him for all that you do have. So that's just...